Cashless for Clunkers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The government's Cash for Clunkers program kicked in a week ago. This is the money being used to entice people to trade in their gas guzzlers for more fuel-efficient cars. It was instantly successful, maybe too successful as it turns out. And this morning, it looks like it may be out of money. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to talk about the program and what the next step could be. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So Congress put $1 billion into this program. What happened?
Well, right now, this is looking more like no cash left for clunkers. The deal is that Congress initially put up enough money for rebates to about 250,000 car buyers. The rebate's $3,500 or $4,500 per trade-in, depending on how good the gas mileage of the new car is. Now, remember, auto sales have been really slow, so people in the auto industry figured that these rebates would get a trickle of new buyers in the door, meaning they wouldn't tap out that $1 billion in rebates until November. Instead, dealers have been inundated. It helps that they did an advertising blitz. You know, this is finally something good they can tell consumers. Instead of a trickle, it's been a flood of buyers, an unbelievably successful bit of government stimulus spending.
And Mitchell, are they really out of money? I mean, meaning no more turning in your car and getting the rebate for a new one?
Well, that's what they're trying to figure out right now. All the money hasn't actually gone out the door yet. Dealers have sent in the paperwork, maybe, or they're still waiting for the new car to show up. But the Transportation Department says it definitely looks like the money's spoken for. Congress could pump more money in. There's another $3 billion allowed for in the legislation.
And should people who already signed their rebate deal this week but haven't gotten that new car yet be worried that they're out of luck?
Well, the administration certainly doesn't want people to worry. Yesterday, the White House press secretary said that all valid transactions that have taken place to date will be honored. Auto dealers, though, may not be quite so confident. 1 week after this program started, some of them may now be hesitating to do new deals, at least until they know there's more money to pay for them.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. On Wall Street yesterday, stocks made some gains. The S&P 500 added more than 1%, the Dow and NASDAQ just under 1% each. In Asia, shares were mostly higher. The Nikkei and Hang Seng rose by more than 1.5%. Shanghai shares shot up more than 2.5% today. European markets are slightly lower right now. We're going to get an idea of how the economy is doing when the government releases its second quarter gross domestic product figure this morning. Analysts are expecting the economy to have shrunk again, but by a more moderate level. Remember credit default swaps, those insurance contracts on securities that helped bring down insurance giant AIG? Well, since the financial crisis, nothing's been done to regulate those unregulated instruments called derivatives. And now Democrats are working on a bill that'll set rules for those swaps. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The bill would force most derivatives onto exchanges where they could be monitored by the government. It could also ban investors from trading credit default swaps when they don't own the underlying debt. Why do we need these rules? Just ask Tamar Frankel, securities law professor at Boston University.
I can promise to pay you $100, but in my pocket I have 2 cents. If you accept it and you know that I have 2 cents and you still want to do it, that's fine. But if somebody trades in it, then I have a problem because it's hard to find out whether I have 2 cents and besides I've gone away.
Frankel says forcing traders to keep more money in their pockets would make the whole system safer. But Bob Pickle of the International Swaps and Derivatives Association doesn't agree.
I think we would be concerned about, you know, widening that differential to such an extent where companies are not able to effectively manage the risk that they have in their business.
All this sets up a debate Congress will have when it returns to Washington in September. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org.
America's a big country, both the nation itself and increasingly Americans. A new study released this week by the CDC and other agencies says more than a quarter of all Americans are obese. And the study says that's an estimated $150 billion problem for the healthcare system. But some businesses see it as an opportunity. From Long Beach, California, Rico Galliano reports.
It's a typical Friday night at a Long Beach nightclub. DJ spins sexy R&B, guys try to be cool, and lots of the ladies are dressed to expose maximum flesh. But at this club, there's a little more flesh than usual.
Guys like bigger girls here, and they think we're hot, and it's nice.
That's Darcy, a regular here at Club Bounce. It's the brainchild of promoter Lisa Marie Garbo.
Club Bounce is a nightclub for plus-size people and those who desire us.
Plus size. That's how Garbo describes herself and the overweight clientele who flock to this, the only weekly club night of its kind in the area. She says she gets around 1,000 folks a weekend at $15 a pop, and she says that's just the tip of the iceberg.
There is a great market for plus size people in clothing, clubs, all kinds of areas. You can have a business for plus size people and make a great living.
Surprisingly, though, very few businesses are tapping that market. Marshall Cohen is chief retail analyst with the NPD Group.
We're talking about almost 30% of the population. But when you look at the fashion business, which is really one of the few areas where you can quantify it, it represents less than 18% of the total apparel business. This is a very underserved market.
Why? Marshall says obesity carries a daunting social stigma, so retailers tend to devote very little store space to the overweight crowd. And when a recession hits, like, say, the one we're in now, the plus-size department is the first to go.
You know, much like somebody who's on a diet, it roller coasters. It goes up and it goes down. The retailer goes in the business, out of the business.
But there are signs businesses are more willing to stay in. Torrid, a new offshoot of punky fashion chain Hot Topic, peddles trendy clothing exclusively to overweight teens and young adults. Target followed suit in April with its own line of oversized styles for juniors. Meanwhile, promoter Lisa Marie Garbo just launched a second Club Bounce in Phoenix, and she's not stopping there.
I personally would love to go to Texas for my third club because Texas is known for bigger is better.
In Long Beach, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.